Welcome back to the Ed Show, episode 44. I'm Simon, joined by Rick today.
Hey.
And we got a little bit of news before we jump into our technical interview.
Yeah.
So why don't you kick it off?
Well, you know, this is my first time in the States during this type of season. I don't understand why you gave me this one as the very first one to talk about. It's something called the Lookbook. To me, the holiday season doesn't really start until December timeframe.
So we like our holidays in the States.
I guess, like
you know, it's one holiday to another, no stop.
So I'll be experiencing my first Black Friday, and I'm assuming this is why they kind of brought this out or something?
That's right. So they released it to coincide with Black Friday. Everyone does their Christmas shopping, starts to get their presents. Big discounts at a lot of retail stores, including all the Microsoft retail stores.
I got it. So they have this new thing. It's called the Lookbook, which you can get at a short URL, aka.ms/lookbook. In case you're interested, if you can actually just click on that, it's for a little bit. Click on that little gray arrow though next to that little, lovely little child's mouth. It's not necessarily technology focused. It's more of a consumer and fun kind of focus. But the neat thing is, it goes through and has a nice graphical depiction of a bunch of new technologies you can take a look at this particular year, this holiday season. Each one of them has little what I would call Bing hot points of information as well about their design backgrounds and why they're there, and some cool little Easter eggs on Halo, Master Chief's armor and stuff like that. So go check it out. Great stuff there about the Surface, about Windows Phone 8, and also some of our educational and exercise type titles with Nike Plus and Halo 4, because that's, you know, exercise, as well as some of our hardware platform too. Cool stuff. Lookbook at aka.ms/lookbook.
Now, if you want to speak with your family about what presents they want, we've got some new improvements to Skype. Now, as you know, Microsoft purchased Skype some time back, and it's available as consumer product. However, we've recently improved our investments for Skype in the workplace. Now, what Skype in the workplace does, it allows us to have a kind of a collaboration platform for Skype. So if you're a customer, you're working with your team, everyone can just sign in, and then you can instantly video conference each other. You get kind of that immediate online presence, see who's there, see who's not.
Mm-hmm.
But another way that they're trying to position this is allow you to more easily connect with customers. So let's say you're a small business that just does sales. Rather than having, you know, some support number, you can have a support Skype presence. Mm-hmm. People can log on to Skype, and you as an administrator get to see all your customers. You can live chat with them. So it's kind of a nicer way to engage those customers from a small business perspective as well. And we recently announced this, and to learn more about Skype in the workplace, aka.ms/SITW, Skype in the workplace.
Now, I do have to ask you, man, because I wouldn't call it Skype, I'd call it Skype.
Skype, that might be my English side coming out there.
That's your emphasis.
My emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Got it. Also, it was just released in the last little while to final RTM status, and now general availability is Windows Server 2012 Essentials. That is the new solution or additional solution that's built on top of the Server 2012 platform, aka.ms/Server Essentials. It's targeted towards our small, medium business markets. Technology-wise, it has a similar functionality to what you would see in standard data center editions. It does have some technology limitations. It's designed really to work optimally with about 25 concurrent connections. It is similar in nature to how we approached our small business market with SBS Server and SBS Essentials in the past. It does not include an onboard mail program like an Exchange solution, but it does have easy connectivity up to Office 365. And it has some hard limits. In case you're interested, I think it's 64 gigabytes maximum memory capabilities, which was more than previous versions. It also has some other small nuances that are there as well. But the big bonuses and additions to this, you can generally install this and get this up and working inside your environment with minimal to no technology experience. Don't necessarily need to have full-time technology staff looking after this potentially. So go off, take a look at it, try it out. We now have Server and Data Center and Essentials as three different flavors. There's also Foundation, which is available in OEM, so basically four different editions of Server 2012. I've got this installed for myself at home, and I use it at home to stay in touch, and I can give you the scoop that there will be some MVA content coming, specifically around online training for Server Essentials coming up in the new year.
Great. Well, that kind of covers the small business section, so now we're going to kind of move on to some of the enterprise news. First release I want to talk about is the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, the MVMC. So what the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter does, it's a wizard that allows you to easily go and move your VMware virtual machines over to the Hyper-V platform. And the update to this was supporting Windows Server 2012, so our new VMDX files. So basically, you go point to your existing VMware infrastructure, run this wizard, and it's going to help you not just pull those workloads, pull those VMs over, but it's going to allow you to fix any compatibility issues, such as networks were named this way in the previous version. You have different network mapping. So help you kind of align them so you can more easily get your VMs up and running.
What's your cost on this, dude?
Cost on this tool? $0. It is a free download from Microsoft. Ooh. So to learn more, aka.ms/mvmc.
Very nice. Also on the business side of things is we had a little SharePoint conference just recently over New Orleans, I think it was.
I think this one was Vegas, actually.
Is it Vegas? New Orleans?
One of the fun cities.
Yes. It's a city that I wasn't at.
Which we were.
There was a SharePoint conference available there. Basically, it was the coming out party for SharePoint 2013, aka.ms/SharePoint2013, in case you're interested, for more details about it. Some interesting things about SharePoint 2013, in case you're interested, are things like the new user experience, what it looks like, the look and feel, capabilities for drag and drop between different libraries, as an example. I'm a particular heavy advocate and user of SharePoint here in the office because it's already set up for us, and I'm a big fan of SkyDrive Pro and also obviously document libraries and collaboration and web-based versions of documents and editing, that sort of stuff. Great stuff that's in there. Also announced during this conference was the addition of what would be called the Yammer Enterprise Social parts that can now be added into your environment, and also an announcement around the point of view of Yammer services can now be bundled in for a reduced price. It used to be $15 a head per month. Now it's down to $3 a head per month. And if you're an EA customer for the Office 365 offering, the SharePoint Online, it's all bundled into that as well. So go get the details at aka.ms/SharePoint2013.
All right. Then the final thing that I want to let people know about is this great resource we have that I find very few customers know about, and this is our evidence portal.
Not just customers. I didn't even know about it either.
Oh, a lot of people don't know about it. But this is a great resource with several hundred case studies of Microsoft's cloud, data center, virtualization, big storage, so SQL, things like that. All of these real customer case studies that we've done and published. So if you're kind of looking to migrate to Microsoft's platform, if you're looking at new deployments, new operations, you could see how other people in your industry have done it, how they've approached the problem, and how they've been successful. And there's a nice filtering utility here, allowing you to filter by industry, by country, by brand, by product, by the solution, and by the organization size.
That's so you can really filter, dude. That's a lot of stuff.
It is. You can really narrow things down to go find other customers in the same situation as you to help you get ready for Microsoft solutions.
Sweet.
And to find that tool, aka.ms/evidence.
I think that kind of wraps up our news section. Who you got coming on next for technology?
I have Prabhu coming up, and Prabhu is going to come and talk about Data Protection Manager in the private cloud.
Ah, sweet stuff. Can't wait for that one.
All right. We'll see you soon. Welcome back. I'm here with Prabhu, and we're going to be discussing data protection and backup using System Center 2012 Data Protection Manager. But first, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, Simon. Nice to be here on the show. I'm Prabhu Rambhadran. I'm a technical product manager in the Windows Server and Management team in Microsoft. Our team is primarily responsible for marketing Windows Server and the System Center suite of components. I've been with Microsoft for about 6.5 years now. And my focus is specifically on data center storage, networking, and backup and recovery.
Great. Well, let's talk about backup and recovery. Tell me, what exactly is DPM, and what are kind of the big investments we made in System Center 2012?
Sure. So System Center, as most of you know, has about 6-7 components, and DPM, or Data Protection Manager, is one among the components in System Center. So the primary purpose of DPM is to back up your server workloads and your client machines. It integrates seamlessly with the rest of the System Center components, and it lets you back up all major Microsoft workloads.
Can you back up other types of workloads, specifically Linux, Unix?
Sure. So if you have Linux or Unix VMs running on Windows Server Hyper-V, you could definitely back them up as well.
Great. Now tell me, we just released Windows Server 2012, and we have an upcoming upgrade to System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. What are some of the changes that we've made in Service Pack 1 to highlight these features of Windows Server 2012?
Sure. So Windows Server 2012 is a big, big release, right? And we've made a lot of improvements in Data Protection Manager with the Service Pack 1 release to support Windows Server 2012 and also support SQL Server 2012, which went out earlier this year. For example, Windows Server 2012 could now use SMB file shares to to store live VMs and live SQL databases. DPM could directly plug into that and start backing up your live VMs and SQL databases. DPM is now SQL always on aware, so it could back up SQL databases that are configured for high availability without additional change at all. DPM understands share nothing live migration. So what that means is if you're backing up a VM on, let's say, host A, and then you move your VM from host A to host B, you don't have to back up the entire VM again from host B.
Right.
So DPM keeps track of what exactly changed from that point on and only backs up that specific information. In addition to that, all the scale improvements that we've made in Windows Server 2012, DPM has been up to meet that scale as well. Data deduplication is now available with Windows Server 2012, and DPM can back up data that has been deduped by Windows Server 2012. So a lot of improvements in DPM to support Windows Server 2012 and SQL Server 2012.
Excellent. Now, virtualization is one of the big topics and what we like to talk about a ton on the show. Tell me, how exactly does DPM work with virtual machines? Can it back up a VM, applications in the VM, the host? What are the different choices?
Sure. So DPM can back up the entire VM or applications that are specifically running inside a VM. If it's a Windows Server VM, and if you backed up the entire VM, you have the ability to recover individual files from within that VM. If you have a Microsoft workload, SharePoint, SQL, Exchange, we get deep-level granularity for you to recover. For example, in SharePoint, you could back up the entire SharePoint FAM, but recover an individual Word document, for example, within a matter of seconds. So it plugs into a Volume Shadow Copy Service, or VSS, and helps you both backup and recover data. So, you know, we at Microsoft know our workloads more than anyone else. So what this gives us the ability to do is, you know, any Microsoft workload that has a VSS agent, DPM can directly plug into that VSS agent. And now the application gives DPM the information as to what data needs to be backed up and how it needs to be backed up. So the data that gets backed up is always consistent with the way the application actually wants you to. So DPM is totally ideal for Microsoft workloads. In addition to that, DPM can also back up Windows clients. So with the SP1 release, we can also back up Windows 8 clients.
That's great. So you talked a little bit about virtualization and how we back up. And one of the new features we have is the Hyper-V replica. So can you kind of tell me the difference between when you would use Hyper-V replica, when you would use DPM, kind of the difference between a backup strategy and disaster recovery?
Sure. So DPM, you could think of this primarily as a backup and recovery tool, right? Where you can take some kind of downtime. For example, if you're backing up your live VMs onto a tape or a disk, for you to get the VM back, it requires some time. So DPM is a backup tool where you could tolerate some amount of downtime. Hyper-V Replica, on the other hand, is a disaster recovery solution, which would let you back up your live VMs onto another data center completely. For example, we spoke to a customer a couple of weeks back in New York, and they were using Hyper-V Replica to back up all their VMs onto another data center, which is on the West Coast. And all that they had to do after Sandy hit was refer back to the VMs that were running on the West Coast. So Hyper-V Replica, to a large extent, gives you disaster recovery without much downtime at all. So it lets you back up or keep a copy of your VMs that are about 5 minutes consistent with your live VMs.
Great. So a lot of choices there. Yeah, back
exactly.
Up on site, back up to different locations.
Exactly.
And that's amazing to our real world customers are taking advantage of it, even today with things like Hurricane Sandy.
Exactly. And the good thing about Hyper-V Replica is it's built into Windows Server 2012. So all the goodness that you get with Windows Server 2012, you could automatically apply it to Hyper-V Replica, something like, you know, network virtualization. In addition to that, we have about 25 PowerShell commandlets for Hyper-V Replica, which means you could plug into Orchestrator in System Center and automate your entire replication process.
So a lot of nice integration. But tell me more about the integration we've added between Operations Manager and DPM.
Exactly. There are a couple of things that I want to mention here. The first one is Operations Manager and DPM. What you could do with System Center 2012 is manage all your DPM servers from within Operations Manager. Let's say that you have 5 DPM servers that are split across the entire globe for you to back up multiple sets of clients and server workloads. Instead of logging into multiple DPM servers, you could now just log into your Operations Manager console and take a look at what's happening with each and every DPM server, all the protection groups that you have, all the workloads that you're backing up. So you don't really need to leave your Operations Manager console to manage your backup solution. And the other thing is, with DPM 2012, we have over 120 PowerShell commandlets. And what this, again, lets you do is automate your backup, your recovery, and other things that you want to do with Orchestrator. And again, you don't have to see the UI at all. Everything is automated with PowerShell and Orchestrator.
Very nice. I think a key point here as well is System Center 2012 licensing has changed. If you get your System Center 2012 license, you get DPM.
Exactly.
It has this great integration with all the other products, so it's an inbox. I mean, if you get System Center, it's free, effectively, so
yeah, you get
great
DPM,
opportunity to use it.
Exactly.
Now, we've talked a lot about our private cloud, running it on-premise, but what happens if we need to scale up our data beyond our private cloud, or if we don't have a backup location ourselves? Do we have integration with Azure?
Sure. So DPM, you could think of multiple backing up to multiple locations. We do backup to tapes, we do backup to disk, and with SP1, we can now backup your data onto Azure. So what this gives you is not having to worry about expensive storage to store your backup on your data center. You could now backup your VMs, your SQL databases, and store them in Azure. And Azure would make sure that your data is available all the time for you. So with System Center 2012 SP1, DPM can now backup your data onto Azure.
That sounds like a great solution to, you know, protect your data, move it up to Azure. And of course, once it's in Azure, it's automatically backed up. Azure uses geo-replication, so all the data up there gets pushed to multiple locations anyway. So it's already always available at a global scale.
Totally.
But why don't you show us in action?
Sure. So what you see here is the DPM console. For people who are not familiar with DPM 2012, the look and feel of DPM is very similar to how the rest of the System Center components are. So you have the monitoring pane, the protection pane, the recovery pane, and the reporting pane, which would let you build excellent reports as to how your data is getting backed up, what kind of performance you're getting, and things like that, and obviously the management pane. So what I'm going to do now is show you data that's getting backed up to Azure, and also show you workloads that are currently backed up to the disk and add Azure protection to it. So if you look at the protection groups that I have here, so I have one of my databases being backed up to Azure and to the disk, and then I have another database which is getting backed up just to the disk. So what I'm going to do is add online protection to it. So I just choose the protection group and then say add online protection. And then it's just going to throw open a console for me where it's as simple as just clicking I want online protection. And from this point on, it's not only going to back up my data to the disk, which it's been doing for a while now, but also back up my data onto Azure. So let me just choose what I want to back up from this specific machine. And then I choose the retention range, how long I want to keep the data in Azure, and how frequently I want to synchronize my data between what I have locally and what's there in Azure. So let me just choose daily. And after that, I just update the group. So within a matter of seconds, I can now back up my data that's currently being backed up to just a disk onto Azure.
Very nice. Pretty straightforward as well.
Yeah. So I think the next obvious question is how hard is it to recover the files, right? So again, if I get into my recovery pane, what I have the ability to go take a look at all the data that's getting backed up onto the disk and onto Azure and choose the file that I want to recover and then go ahead and recover it. So, like I mentioned, DB01 is the machine that was getting backed up to Azure. It shows me a calendar of all available backup snapshots that I have. So let me just choose the latest backup that I have, which was at 9:30 p.m. yesterday. And this is the folder that was backed up. So I could either recover the entire folder, or I could just get into this folder and choose a specific file that I want to recover. So let me just right-click and then recover the entire folder now. So again, it's just walking through a simple wizard. I choose the folder, and then it asks me where I want to recover the files to. I'll just recover it back to the original location, and then it asks me whether it wants me to create a new copy or override the existing one. I'll just create a new copy of the files that I'm backing up. I'll use the same security options that I have. And then I just go ahead, choose recover. So what it's going to do now is go look into Azure for this specific file and then recover it back into the location that I gave it.
Very nice. Pretty straightforward, pretty streamlined.
Yeah, it is. And all that you need to do to set up your Azure account is get into management, and you have multiple agents here. And you have your online agent as well. You just click on it, and then it'll take you to the Azure portal, and you could register there and then get a new account, add additional storage, do everything that you want there.
Very nice. Great demo. Thanks for that.
There's just one last thing that I wanted to show you. It's just the integration between Operations Manager and System Center that and DPM that I was talking about. So this is the Operations Manager console. I'm assuming that most of you are familiar with it. So it lists the DPM servers that I'm currently monitoring. So I currently have one DPM server in my environment. Like I told you, I could just choose the DPM server and then pretty much do every operation that I have from within my DPM console, all from within Operations Manager. I could take a look at all the work groups that I have that I'm protecting, which is what you saw in the previous screen. So I have data that's getting backed up to disk and to Azure and just to disk. Again, complete control over your entire DPM environment, all from within Operations Manager.
Excellent. Great stuff and a great integration story we have here.
Yeah.
And you know, once again, if you get the System Center 2012 license, you're going to get DPM and Ops Manager and Orchestrator and all those other great things with
exactly.
it as well. Now, where can people go to learn more?
So you could go to Microsoft.com/System Center. That's our Uber System Center page, and we have links from there to Data Protection Manager. Or you could take a look at the TechNet page that's at the bottom of the screen. That gives you detailed documentation around how you could deploy DPM, how you could configure your environment to efficiently backup data. It gives you information around how many DPM servers you need to have, kind of gauge what your environment looks like, how you need to set up DPM, and so on. So the TechNet link at the bottom of this page is the best place to go.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. Great demo. And System Center 2012 SP1 will be coming out soon. Make sure you get it so you can take advantage of all these great features. Thanks for your time once again.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Goodbye. Welcome back. I hope you found that interview very informative, and you're encouraged to go and try System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 when it comes out very shortly.
Disaster recovery, really cool stuff, man. If you're interested to leave us comments about this particular show, areas you have any questions about, or areas of future exploration with System Center or other products, right down below there in the comment area, please drop us a note, and Simon will be sure to catch up on that, unless he's in Russia or China or elsewhere, because I think he's traveling the next little while.
That's right.
You can also catch us on Twitter in case you're interested. We follow @TNEdge as far as our user ID and also #TNEdge as well. And I think, yes, we also have an email address, edge@microsoft.com, if you want to drop us a line, comment, or anything else. It all goes in our inboxes and our boss's inbox, too. So, hey, thanks a lot, man. It was a nice show. Thanks for having me on for the news, and it was good seeing Prabhu again. It's been a while.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.